Hello and welcome to Red Pride Stadium on the campus of Plainfield High School. My name is Lex Zorn and I'll be bringing you all the action as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the Franklin Grizzly Cubs in week 7 of the Indiana high school football season. Well, last week Plainfield suffered its first loss of the 2023 season and the Tyler Bless era, losing to the arch rival Decatur Central Hawks by a score of 26-23 as the Quakers' season-long habit of struggling to sustain drives and letting their opponents keep it too close for too long finally caught up with them. Back in week 1, the Quakers went down 13-0 at Terre Haute South before coming back to lead 17-13 at the half and winning 32-13. Then in their home opener against Harrison in a rematch of last year's playoff openers, the Quakers went down 14-0 before coming back to win 15-14. Back on the road in week 3, Plainfield saved us from the usual tension, cruising to a comfortable 31-15 win and breaking a 5-game losing streak to the Pioneers at Mooresville. The Quakers then returned home for their only 2-game homestand of the regular season. In week 4, they were given a scare by recently improved Perry Meridian, but held on for a 21-20 win on a missed 30-yard field goal attempt on the Falcons' last possession. At home again in week 5, Plainfield overcame a scare against much-improved Greenwood. The Quakers led only 22-20 in the third quarter and looked like they were losing their momentum when the game turned on a successful fake punt on 4th and 10 at the 33, their own 33. From there, they closed out the game with 24 unanswered points, winning 46-20, moving to 5-0 for the first time in 17 years, and moving up to number 4 in the AP poll for Class 5A. But last week when visiting arch-rival Decatur Central, the Quakers finally got into a jam that they failed to get out of. They got off to a good start, opening the scoring on an 84-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Caden Vanderbush, and Cameron Grimes hit the extra point, making it 7-0 with 7:17 to go in the first quarter. Decatur Central got their first score on an 8-yard rush by K.C. Berry with 10:32 to go in the second quarter, but the extra point was blocked, so Plainfield retained the lead 7-6. With 2:03 to go in the quarter, the Hawks took a 9-7 lead on a 40-yard field goal by Ashton Vogel, one of the best kickers in the state. But the Quakers answered on their ensuing possession, scoring on a 1-yard touchdown pass from Newell to Jameer Bowie, and the 2-point conversion by Elijah Flowers brought us to our halftime score of 15-9. With 9:34 to go in the third quarter, Plainfield scored on a 1-yard touchdown rush by Luke Starnes, and Brandon Hendry scored the 2-point conversion, making it 23-9. On Decatur Central's ensuing possession, they were about to punt, which would have given the Quakers the ball with a chance to take an almost insurmountable 3-possession lead, but then the game turned on a roughing the kicker penalty, which led to a 40-yard touchdown pass from Bo Polston to Chris Richmond, with 5:54 to go in the quarter, making it 23-16. Then in Plainfield's ensuing possession, head coach Tyler Bless attempted to stop Decatur Central's newfound momentum by going for a fake punt, but unlike a week earlier against Greenwood, this one failed. The Hawks took over at the Quakers 35 and gained no yards on their first 3 plays, but on 4th and 10, Polston threw to Berry for the touchdown, tying it at 23 with 3:18 to go in the third quarter. Then late in the quarter on a change of possession, the clock continued for at least 30 seconds, and only 10 seconds were re-added, which might have affected the outcome of the game. Both teams struggled to move the ball for most of the fourth quarter, but with 1:43 to go, Vogel hit a 49-yard field goal, giving the Hawks a 26-23 lead. And on Plainfield's ensuing possession, a controversial no-call with pass interference on a deep pass from Newell to Vanderbush led to the Quakers turning it over on downs, and Decatur Central knelt out the clock. The loss drops the Quakers to 5-1 and moved them down 4 notches to number 8 this week. Tonight, Plainfield tries to get back on track as they host the Franklin Grizzly Cup, a team that the Quakers dominated for more than 2 decades before becoming one of their toughest rivals in recent years. From 1997 to 2018, Plainfield went 20-2 against Franklin, but starting in 2018, the Grizzly Cubs have won 3 of the last 4 in the series, including the last 2 here at Plainfield. Franklin's resurgence has been the result of head coach Chris Cole, who is well known here in Hendricks County for spending 11 years as the head coach, capped off by the 2014 Class 3A State Championship before leaving for Franklin at the end of the 2016 season. Since then, they've gone 8-3 twice in 2019 and last year, their first 2 winning seasons since all the way back in 1996. This season, the Grizzly Cubs are off to a 4-2 start and ranked number 13 in Class 5A. They opened with a big win over New Albany by a score of 42-3, then lost 41-38 to Mount Vernon before bouncing back with 2 consecutive wins, 26-20 over Perry Meridian in overtime, and 22-21 over Whiteland. Their only bad game of the season was a 32-14 loss to Martinsville in Week 5, but they got back on track last week with a 29-26 win over Mooresville. Franklin is now 4-2 and ranks 13 in Class 5A. So far this season, Plainfield has rushed 194 times and passed 142, a ratio of 1.37-1. Senior quarterback Hunter Newell has been quietly effective all season and solidifying his college stock. He's completed 79 of 141 passes, 56% for 830 yards, 8 touchdowns, and best of all, no interceptions. His leading receiver is Caden Vanderbush, bound for Western Michigan University. He has 20 receptions for 292 yards and 3 touchdowns, followed by junior Jameer Bowie with 25 receptions for 233 yards and 3 touchdowns, and senior Isaiah Miller with 19 for 207. On the ground, the Quakers are led by sophomore Luke Starnes with 123 rushes for 696 yards and 9 touchdowns, followed by senior Carter Ferguson with 24 rushes for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns, Hunter Newell with 30 for 122 and 1 touchdown, and a junior Weston Weyrich with 11 for 39 and 1 touchdown. Meanwhile, Franklin has rushed 229 times and passed 105, a ratio of 2.18-1. Their starting quarterback, senior Clay Pinnock, has completed 36 of 73 passes, 49.3% for 383 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. In addition, sophomore Grayson Betts also plays regularly and has completed 11 of 32 passes, 34.4% for 125 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. Their leading receiver is Quentin Richards with 20 receptions for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns, followed by senior Cooper Taylor with 6 receptions for 89 yards and a touchdown, and senior Luke Beckert with 6 for 8, and sophomore Braden Bonesteel with 3 for 42 and a touchdown. On the ground, the Grizzly Cubs are led by senior Alex Lugers with 141 rushes for 948 yards and 9 touchdowns, followed by Clay Pinnock with 57 rushes for 363 yards and 4 touchdowns, senior Caleb Owens with 18 for 120 and a touchdown, and Grayson Beth with 8 rushes for 108 rushes for 40 yards and 2 touchdowns. Well, now Plainfield is on the field ready to take the opening kickoff. Kicking off for Franklin is J.D. Sever. He is a senior, 6'2", 190, a very good kicker. He's 16 for 17 on extra points and 4 of 5 on field goals with a long of 40. So for the second consecutive week, we're, you know, running against all that thought. And it's a line drive kick to start off, fielded on a few bounces at the 5, right up to the 10, 15, 20. Vanderbush has it at the 30, 35, 40, 45, and he's dropped out about the 50. So outstanding start to the game for the Quakers by Caden Vanderbush. He already has a 99-yard touchdown return for a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown this year. And the Quakers, you know, what I hope they would do is score early and often, put Franklin in a hole. They're not a very good passing team. They're not a bad passing team, but they're really average at best. They're a great rushing team, so we got to put them in a position where they're induced to pass. So now the Quakers starting off on offense. Two receivers to the left, Luke Starnes, the running back. Hunter Newell and shotgun takes it. Screen pass over to the right. It is complete, and he's got the catch and near the first down. That was Marcos Rivera there to start it off, a gain of about 9. Second and 1 for the Quakers. So second and 1 for the Quakers. Good start. So they're at the Franklin 41. They started off on the 50. So now three receivers to the left, one to the right. And we got up to the flag here. One thing, if Plainfield was called for 12 penalties last week, we've got to cut that down by a big margin tonight. But this one's against Franklin, so we got the first down. All right, good start here. Offside, so the Quakers get 5 free yards. First and 10 at the 36. So now same formation, hand off to Starnes, goes up the middle now over to the right. Now he's got some room, breaks a couple of tackles, and he gets up to about the 60. So Luke Starnes had his worst game of the season last week. He did get a touchdown, but held for 19. He only went 19 for 52. Decatur Central is probably the best defensive team we've played all year. They were ready for us. The three receivers to the left, one to the right. Starnes, their running back, he gets the handoff again. This time they're ready for him, and he is brought down around the line of scrimmage, bringing up about third and four. Luke Starnes entered this game just shy of 700 yards on the season. He's on pace to easily get 1,000 yards. The last 2 years, Plainfield has not had a 1,000-yard rusher. That is likely to change this year. Coach Woodard, almost every year of his senior, had at least one, sometimes two. Last couple of years, they struggled a little bit on the ground more than usual. So now Bowie and Vanderbush to the left, one receiver to the right. Starnes, the running back, Newell in shotgun, takes the snap, gives it to Starnes again, and he's got some room up the middle to 25, up to about the 20. So a first down there by Luke Starnes, picking up 10 or 11. So Starnes looks like he's ready to shake off last week. Picks up 11 there. I have him 3 of 17. So the Quakers move into the red zone in just about 2 minutes. So now, Bowie and Vanderbush to the left, one receiver to the right. Now, pitch over to Starnes. He's around the right side. He picks up about three. So they're not shy about running Starnes a lot tonight. Very tough kid, only a sophomore. He's going to end up, I have a feeling, one of the top rushers in Plainfield history, as long as he stays healthy. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Starnes is still the running back. Vanderbush and Bowie to the left. Movement at the line, but no flag. The snap. And now pass over to Vanderbush. He's got it and plows his way inside the 10 up to about the 9. The ball comes out, but he is clearly down. So it's going to be first and goal for the Quakers as Vanderbush gets his first reception of the game. Newell has completed both of his passes. So first and goal for the Quakers at the 9. Vanderbush to the left, Bowie and Miller to the right. Now a handoff to Starnes. He's got through on the left side inside the 5, and he's got the touchdown. Yes! Number 10 on the season for Luke Starnes. He has at least one touchdown in every game, and the Quakers open the scoring with 8:27 to go here in the first quarter, showing that they're ready to shake off their first loss of the season. That's just what I wanted to see. So Starnes, by my count, 5 for 27 and a touchdown on that first drive. All right. I like what I'm seeing. So now Cameron Grimes sets for the extra point there. No, I'm sorry. It is up and it is good. That was Leo Hayob. He is a junior who occasionally does some kicking for us. Well, Plainfield has gone for exactly one PAT in every game. Other than that, they've gone for the two every time. They are 7-for-7 on PATs now, so I think it's good that they're doing that one a game to keep the kickers fresh. But most of the time, they go for two. And they are very good at it, and so far it's gone to their advantage. We'll see how that continues over the years, if other teams adjust to it. One of the reasons, by the way, that Coach Tyler Bless says that they do it is to try to force the other team to take time out of practice to work on defending it. So I never thought about that particular aspect of the strategy. Now, I remember Russell Sumner, the former Danville head coach who went for the two a lot, though not quite as much as Plainfield does, said his philosophy was that, you know, you want to try to make the extra team, you want to try to make your opponent make the extra play. So, you know, if you do it well, it can accomplish both of those things. So now let's see. We've got Grimes out there to kick off. Two men back deep for the Grizzly Cubs. One of them is Luke Beckert. He is a senior. I cannot see the other number from my vantage point. It's a deep kick, and it's going to be close to the end zone, but it goes out of bounds around the five. So the Grizzly Cubs will start off at the 35. Head coach for the Quakers is Tyler Bless, who's 5-1 in his first season with the Quakers. Head coach for Franklin is Chris Cole, who's 29-38 in his seventh year with the Grizzly Cubs, and 108-81 in his 18th year overall. He spent the previous 11 years with Tri-West, leading the Bruins to the Class 3A state championship in 2014. So now Franklin starting off on offense, three receivers to the right, one to the left. And they got a rush up the middle. It's about 4 or 5 yards there. So it's going to, yeah, they give them credit for 4 there. So second and six for Franklin at their own 39. Two receivers to the right, one to the left now. Takes the handoff, and Pinnick, the quarterback, takes it himself. He picks up about another 4. Alex Lugers enters this game for Franklin, nearly 100 yards already. Nearly 1,000 yards on the season, excuse me, and 9 touchdowns. That was a good quarterback keeper by Pinnick. So 4 yards for Lugers, 4 yards for Pinnick to start off the game for Franklin, bringing up 3rd and 2 at their own 43. So 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Lugers the running back, Pinnick in shotgun. Pinnick is a senior. High snap, but he gets it. Hands off to Lugers, who does get the first. Maybe one more. Lugers is a senior. He is a junior, 5'11", 186. Already a very good college prospect. First and 10 for the Grizzly Cubs at their own 45. And now we've got Luke Beckert and Cooper Taylor lined up to the right, one receiver to the left, 2 running backs, Pendekin shotgun, takes it, hands off to Lugers, who goes over to the left, and he gets 2 or 3. So Lugers has carried the ball for Franklin on 3 of their first 4 plays. So, good game so far for the Quakers. They haven't a good game for the Quakers. They've, so far kept Franklin's powerful rushing offense under control. 2 receivers now to the right, 1 to the left. 1 running back. Pinnick and shotgun. And now they put pressure on a screen pass out to Lugers. He's got the reception, and he gets the first down and a little more, pushed out of bounds around the 42. That's a gain of about 10 yards. Now, last year when we played, and they give credit for 9, by the way, last year when we played at Franklin, a year ago tomorrow, Pinnick was already the starting quarterback. He was injured, and he was replaced by freshman Grayson Betts, who's played 5 of the 6 games this year as a backup. Now 2 receivers. Now we got a flag here. No, 2 flags. We'll see what that's all about. Ball start against Franklin. It comes back 5 yards. So 1st and 15 now for Franklin at the Plainfield 48, 5:58 to go, just a little over halfway through this first quarter here, game 7 of 9 in the regular season. Plainfield leading 7-0. Both of these teams rank. Plainfield at number 8 in the 8th poll, Franklin number 13. Now 1 receiver at each side, 2 running backs, Pinnekin shotgun, take the snap, and they give it to Lugers, but they're right on top of him, and he gets maybe just 2. That'll bring up 2nd and long. Lugers already with 4. Last name spelled L-E-U-G-E-R-S. Give him credit for 2 on that one. So second and 13 for the Grizzly Cubs at the 46 now, one receiver to each side. Two running backs. Handoff. And now over it, he gives it to Lugers again. He's got some room on the right side, spins around, gets about three. So it's going to be third and 10. Now we've got to get him off the field here. Playing field last week, we Decatur Central had it fourth and 10 at hour 35, threw a touchdown pass on that play. We can't allow any repeats of stuff like that. The Grizzly Cubs likely in four down territory. So they send Cooper Taylor out to the left, Clay Pinnock. Now the quarterback heading out right, and now he passes over to a screen pass over to Lugers, and he's up, and he could have the first down. He does. So we failed to get him off the field. Picks up 12 there. We that's not an encouraging sign. We got to maintain the lead here and get that two possession lead, put them in a hole, force them to pass a lot. So now we've got Cooper Taylor and Luke Beckert to the left, one receiver to the right. Pinnickin shotgun, new running back in there. And it's time to hand off. They fumble. And Playfield's saying they have it. I actually thought that Pinnick recovered, but we'll see. Yeah, we got it. All right. So the Quakers gave up the third and 12, but they redeemed themselves with the fumble recovery. And now with 3:46 to go in the first quarter, we start our second possession 7-0. Now let's get this. Let's go for the jugular here. Take a two-possession lead, put them in a hole, force them to pass more than they want to. Strike first, strike hard, no mercy. So now Miller and Bowie line up to the right, starting the running back, New Orleans shotgun. Quakers at their own 34. Takes the handoff. Now Newell drops back up. Plenty of time. Throws deep up the middle to Bowie. He's got the catch at the 30, 25, 20. Yes, he's going all the way. Jameer Bowie, 66 yards for the touchdown. All right. Yeah, my son Liam just said Franklin must have lost some of their best players for graduation. They certainly lost some of them, including John Shepard, their star running back from last season. So now the Quakers lining up, actually. It looks like they're lining up for the, they're going for the two. No, now they're going for the one again. But anyway, so now we've got Hayob trying to get his second extra point on the game. It is up, and it is good. So with 3:35 to go here in the second quarter, your Plainfield Quakers already shaking off last week's loss. They lead 14-0 over Franklin. Now, keep in mind, they had a 14-point lead last week and lost it. So we can't take our foot off the accelerator here. We just got to keep doing what got us this lead. So anyway, yeah, just really encouraging. After last week's letdown, I mean, we only played one game all year where there was, no tension. That was Mooresville in week three. We beat them 31-15. They were 31-7 before they got a late touchdown on a defensive lapse on our part. There was never much question about that one. Liam, what did you tell me the name of the song is? No, the last one, the Irish, like hard rocking Irish song. So now Cameron Grimes ready to go for the kickoff. Last one went out of bounds. Hopefully this one will stay in bounds. That's an onside kick! And I think we got it! Yes! 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 Plainfield takes over at the 45! So come on, let's just stick it in, stick the dagger in the heart right now. Let's get this over with. Win it in the first quarter. Man. I'm trying to find the words to express this performance that's suitable for a high school sports broadcast, so bear with me. Usually I don't have a problem coming up with the words, but anyway, so Vanderbush, Bowie, and Miller up to the left, starting the running back duel in shotgun. Let's do this, boys. Now, just takes the handoff. Newell's got some room on the left side, spins around, gets up about three or four, so good start to the drive. Oh, my God. It's night and day last week to this one. If we do it, if we play every game the rest of the, if we play every game the rest of the season the way we're playing tonight, we can go a long, long way. So now Vanderbush to the left, Bowie and Miller to the right, starts the running back, Newell in shotgun, second and six for the Quakers at their own 41. Hands off to Starnes. But he runs into a wall, and I think he might have run into his own man, and he was brought down around the line of scrimmage, maybe even for a loss of one. But, man, we got to get some points on this drive, and they give him credit for minus one there. Six rushes by my count for Starnes tonight. Third and seven for the Quakers at their own 42. So now Marcos Rivera into the game, lines up to the left. We got Bowie and Vanderbush to the left, Rivera and Miller to the right. Starnes, the running back, New Orleans shotgun, 2:46 to go. Plainfield's third and seven at the Franklin 42. They blitz New Orleans, brought down for a sack. So give Franklin a lot of credit. They were, you know, they're playing like they're mad as hell. And now the Quakers out at punt formation. Wow. Wow, I hate that we squandered that brilliant onside kick. I mean, I love the call. But I give Franklin all the credit in the world, but that's a Chris Coles team there for you. I was Tri-West primary commentator back in 2016, the Chris Coles last year. Oh, no, it's a high step, and he's going to have to hurry to get it up, and oh, my God. I can't believe it. It was a, I'm sorry, that was such a bizarre play. I'm trying to get the words for it. It was over. The punt was over. The snap was over the punter's head. And then he dropped it when he got his hands on it. And then he picked it up. It went off his foot funny and went straight in about 3 yards into the arms of a Franklin receiver who ran the wrong way. I don't know what he was thinking. But, you know, he gave us about 10 free yards, so that was odd. So, bizarre game already. Plainfield's still with a firm grip on it, but we got to, now the pressure cranked up on our defense not to make it a one position, not to let it be a one position game here. So, two receivers to the left, one to the right, handoff now, and Lugers gets about three. So it'll be second and seven after 3 yards there by Alex Lubers. He is the best offensive player for the Grizzly Cubs. So now we got Taylor and Beckert out to the left again. One receiver to the right. Pinnock in shotgun. He gives the Lubers again. He's going over to the right. We almost trip him up. And now, you know, he's gang tackled. And he's brought down around the line of scrimmage. All right, third and long. Now we've got to get him off the field here. No excuses, boys. No, they're saying that he fumbled. I didn't see it. It was right by the sideline. No, they're... Wait. So I'm confused with what the situation is because... Oh, so they're saying he didn't fumble after all. Or maybe he didn't. It was out of bounds. Because I did not see the ball come out because my vantage point was blocked by the Quakers players. So now three receivers to the left, one to the right. Big third and seven for the Grizzly Cubs. Now pass, and it is intercepted up to the 45, 50, 45, 40. He could go all the way. 20, 15, yes, down to the 13. All right. Oh, my God, I didn't catch who did it, but whoever it is. No, okay, it was Will Freeman. Will Freeman, he's a senior. He's a senior, 6 feet, 154. So the Quakers take over now at the Franklin 12, 25.1 to go in the quarter, in the first quarter. Let's just take this three-possession lead. We get a three-possession lead over a predominantly rushing team. We've got a firm grip on this one. So now Newell and Miller off to the left, Vanderbush to the right. Start running back Newell and shotgun. Dagger in the heart right here, boys. No mercy. So now Starnes takes it past the 10. He's up to about the 5. Maybe the 6. And that'll likely be the last play of the quarter. So that's 6 yards there by Starnes. We're lining up, but I don't think we're going to do a play. 2, 1. And that's it. So after one quarter of play here at Red Price Stadium, what a difference a week makes. Your Plainfield Quakers playing like they have state championship aspirations. They lead the Franklin Grizzly Cup 14-0, 6 yards away from making it 21-0 right here on AudioSportsOnline.com. We would like to thank our sponsors for making tonight's broadcast, the Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com, possible. They are TJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Janelle Financial, Remax Centerstone, Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design, Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellis and Associates, Remax, Chipotle, and Double D BBQ. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield, where your Plainfield Quakers off to an extraordinary start, about to take a 3-touchdown lead over the Franklin Grizzly Cubs. With 8:27 to go in the first quarter, Plainfield scored on a 9-yard rush by Luke Starnes. That was followed by a 66-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Jameer Bowie. And now the Quakers, after another 6 yards by, another 7 yards by Starnes, they have a 2nd and 3 at the 5. So now Newell throws in the end zone, and it's deflected. Bowie was the intended receiver. Okay, 3rd and 3. That was Newell's first incompletion. I have him 3 for 4 for 83 and a touchdown. But we got it. But even if we get a field goal here, and we're clearly in the range of both Grimes and Hayob, that is a three possession lead, so that's still good. But I want the touchdown. So now Miller to the left, 2 receivers to the right, Starnes still in there at running back. And now hands off to Starnes. He's got the first down. He's going to be very close to the first. I think he's about a yard. Very close to the touchdown. I think he's about a yard short. So they did get the first down. That's the important thing. So first and goal at the 2 for the Quakers now. So 3 places to punch it in. Miller and Vanderbush out to the left. Starnes in there at running back. Newell in shotgun. Starnes standing next, right next to him, and we got a flag here. 11:31 to go here in the second quarter. Plainfield 14, Franklin 0. 7:26 your time of day. Waiting for the signal. So it's against Franklin, half the distance to the goal. So now first and goal at the 1-4 place to get 1 yard. I think we can manage that. So Vanderbush and Miller to the right. And now Hand off there to Starnes. They're ready for him. He might not have made it. You know, when I think about goal line stands, keep in mind I'm from Southeast Indiana, and I grew up, I'm 52, so the first few years that I watched the NFL, we did not have the Colts yet, and the Cincinnati Bengals were, you know, basically the home team. And I remember that sensational, hold that thought. So Vanderbush and Miller to the right, Starnes, the running back, hand off to Newell. And now he takes the hand off. Newell tries to take it himself, but he's brought down for a short loss. But, you know, when I think about goal line stands, I always think about Super Bowl 16. That was in the 1981 season up at the Lake Silverdome up in Pontiac, Michigan. That was the first of the four Joe Montana San Francisco Super Bowl championships where, you know, a key moment in their win was when they had a sensational goal line stand. And I believe Pete Johnson, our outstanding fullback for Cincinnati, got the ball on all four plays. But yeah, that was just one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen. But now, two receivers deep side, third and goal at the three. And now we've got a penalty here. Ball start against the Quakers. So now it's back up to the eight. I don't like this. Boy, that would be devastating if we, had two consecutive drives, and I think Plainfield might have taken their first time out here. Yes, Plainfield has taken its first time out with an even 10 minutes to go. Well, I give Franklin a lot of credit. I mean, you know, right after the first down, after the onside kick, they got us in a sack that resulted in a punt, and then are now, after that interception, led to us getting first and goal at the one. Now they're clamping down on us. We had a first and goal at the one. Now it's third and goal at the eight. It's a big difference. Of course, last year, we went from first and goal at the nine to, being backed up all the way to the 50 after, two major tackles for a loss against Hunter Newell and then a penalty. So now Miller and Vanderbush to the left, Bowie and Rivera to the right, Starnes, the running back, Newell in shotgun. Third and goal at the eight, trying to take a 3-touchdown lead here. The snap drops back, throws into the throws over to the side. I believe it's Vanderbush. He gets up to about 3. That was Bowie, excuse me. And now we've got a Franklin player hurt. He's just trying to get up. He's sitting up, but he does appear to be in a lot of discomfort. Now he's lying back down again. 9:43 to go. Boy, let me catch my breath here. So I have Newell 4 for 5 now. Jameer Bowie having a very good junior season. He should be our number one receiver next year after the graduation of Vanderbush and Miller. Who will be throwing to him remains to be seen. Newell in his second season as our full-time quarterback. He was our part-time quarterback, splitting the time about evenly with Carson Melvin 2 years ago. So now 4th and 5, we are going for the field goal. I hate to settle for a field goal on this drive, but it will give us a 3-possession lead that would be pretty well insurmountable against a predominantly rushing team. So Cameron Grimes now, after Hayab attempted the extra points, Cameron Grimes now going for a very makeable 23-yard field goal. He's already hit from 40 this year. The kick is up, and it is good. So disappointing, you know, end to the drive, but we do have the 3-possession lead. So, with 9:27 to go here in the second quarter, your Plainfield Quakers already in great shape tonight. And that was Plainfield's third field goal of the season, by the way. And, you know, you always want to get the touchdown instead of the field goal, but it's always comforting to know that you can hit the field goal when you need to. And, you know, there are a good number of high school teams, including teams bigger than Plainfield, including 6A teams, who don't have a reliable kicker. And I always tell, you know, tell young people who aspire to go into football, learn to kick. I mean, you can learn other positions, too, and still learn to kick. And you don't even need any special physical attributes, you know. Most of it is technique. Now, you obviously need to build up your leg, you know, things like that. But, I mean, you don't need any extraordinary athletic ability. I mean, a few years ago, when we were commentating Avon here on Audio Sports Online, they had a girl from the soccer team, a 5-foot-1-inch girl by the name of Sam Miller, who was a deadly extra point kicker. And she was, as a senior, she was their number one kicker for a 6A team. And I saw her once hit a 29-yard field goal. So, and the kickoff goes out of bounds, so the Grizzly Cubs will get it up to 35 again. That is one thing I'd like us to, don't like that we already kicked it out of bounds twice. But, you know, when that's the biggest, you know, when that's your biggest concern about the game, you know, you're doing pretty well overall. Well, so two receivers now to the left, one to the right. Franklin trying to get anything going. And now, Luger gets it up. And the thing is, we're at the point now, especially as long as we keep them in bounds, we can let Luger have all the 4 or 5 yards gains that he wants. We just got to take away the big play. That's the only thing that we got to worry about right now. Seven for 18 now. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. And now a high snap, a keeper by Pinnickin. He gets maybe about, I think he got him around the line of scrimmage. I don't think they're going to give him credit on his second keeper of the game. Yeah, he's brought down for zero. So a big 3rd and 6 now. And keep in mind, if Franklin does not score on this drive and we score a touchdown at a 2-point conversion on our ensuing drive, That's a 4-possession lead, 25-0. And, you know, there's almost no chance that a predominantly rushing team would come back from that in about 2.5 quarters. So now one receiver, big five, picks back there. And now he's got some room on the right side, but he's short of the first down. That was Lugers again. So it's going to be 4th down at about 3 or so. So they gave him credit for 2 on that one. 4th and 4. The Grizzly Cubs set to punt now. Low snap, and he gets it. Evander Bush back deep receive, but he punts it out of bounds around the 34. So Plainfield starting off in solid field position. And again, you know, tonight is the first time that even though we're 8-0 on extra points this year, this is the first time we've attempted 2 extra points in a game. Other than that, we've just gone for 2 all year long and been very successful at it. But if we get a touchdown here, we've got to go for 2 to make it that 4-possession lead. So now we've got Bowie and Vanderbush out to the right, one receiver out to the left. Starnes, the running back. And now hand off there to Starnes, and he gets up for about 5, maybe 6. Starnes has at least 1 touchdown in every game this season. It's all 1 in each of the 7 games. He had 4 a couple weeks ago in the big win over Greenwood. I have him 11 for 44 and a touchdown. He averaged just about 2.5 yards a carry. And they lost to Decatur Central last week, averaging 4 a carry tonight. So substantially better. Two receivers now to the right, one to the left. Hand off to Starnes again. And he's got some room over on the left side, and he's going to be within one or two of the first downs. So it'll be third and short, nearly halfway through this second quarter. Plainfield 17, Franklin 0. Give him credit for two there. Already 12 carries by my count for Starnes. 6:23 to go and counting. Be methodical, just no matter how long it takes to get the score. Now a handoff to Starnes. He's past the 50. He's got the first down, and we got a late flag here. So let's see if it counts or not. It looks to me like Brandon Hendry is calling for a face mask, but let's see what the call is. Yes, it's against Franklin. It's 5 yards to the end of the run. So it brings up first and 10 for the Quakers at the Grizzly Cubs, 42. 6:08 to go. So Miller and Bowie now to the right. I believe that's Vanderbush out to the left. Starnes still in there, a running back. What a tough guy. So snap, takes the handoff, and then it throws deep down the left side. Oh, just slightly overthrown. He just got a hand on it. That was Vanderbush. Vanderbush on his way to play for the Western Michigan University Broncos. His older brother, Cale Vanderbush, a senior 2 years ago, now a redshirt freshman in the Big Ten for the University of Iowa Hawkeyes. So second and 10 now for the Quakers at their own 42. Two receivers to the left, one to the right now. Screen pass over to the right. So Miller nearly got it. He just didn't get the grip. So third and 10 now. Quakers at the Franklin 42, third and 10 now. I guess they are in four down territory, but I can see maybe going for a punch, trying to pin the Grizzly Cubs inside the 10. You know, especially here in the last half of the second quarter, 5:47 to go now. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. Pitch back now to Starnes. He's got a hole up to the 40, 35, and it's going to be very close to the first down, maybe too short. No, that was Carter Ferguson. Carter Ferguson, excuse me. It's good to see Ferguson getting into the action. He's done a very solid job as a senior who's paid his dues. Give him credit for 8 on that one. He does have 2 touchdowns this season, averaging over 5 yards a carry. Snell Plainfield going for it, 4th and 2 at the Franklin 40, at the Franklin 34. Screen pass, he's got it to Miller, and he got the first down, pushed out of bounds just inside the 30. All right. So Isaiah Miller, the senior, having a quietly effective season, he has taken a back seat to Bowie and Vanderbush, but has had a very good season in his own right, 20 receptions now on the season. So now, takes the handoff, pass over now to Miller again, and he's got inside the 20 up to about the 15. So Miller was shut out for the entire game, then now 2 receptions in a row. The first one for 5, this one for 14. First and 10 at the 15 for the first and 10 at the 15 for the Quakers, trying to take a 4-possession lead here in the first half. Now fix the handoff to Starnes. Now screen pass over to Hendry. He's inside the 10 up to about the 8 or 9. I think that, and now we got a late flag possibly for a horse-collar tackle, which would be half the distance to the goal, if that's what it is. Two officials already liberating now. 4:04 to go now in the second quarter. You know, we've only had one drama-free game this year. That was in Mooresville and back in week three, in which personal fouling, okay, against Franklin. All right, so that's half the distance to the goal. So after 7 yards by Henry, add 4 more by virtue of the penalty. So 5 different Quakers have already caught a pass tonight. So first and goal at the 4 for the Quakers, already leading 17-0. Hands off. Now, fakes the handoff, looks in the end zone, and he throws it away. Very wise. 3:46 to go now. Second and goal at the 4. Plainfield 17, Franklin 0. So now, Plainfield, they got Bowie and Vanderbush to the left, Miller to the right, Starnes in there at running back. I like the way these 5 guys work together. Newell in shotgun takes it, gives it off to Starnes, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. Yes! So 23-0 Plainfield with the conversion pending, 3:43 to go. Well, you know, whatever Coach Tyler Bless told the kids Saturday morning at practice, it apparently worked very well. All right. Come on, let's just, it looks like they're going for the, all right, they're going for the 2. And it failed, but it, I like the determination trying to get the 4-possession lead still. Hey, if I'd have known coming into tonight we'd be at 23-0 with 3:43 to go in the second quarter, I would have taken it. Luke Starnes, number 2 on the game, number 11 on the season. This one coming from 4 yards out. And your Plainfield Quakers are playing, like I said last week in the postgame show, I wanted them to play tonight like they're mad as hell, and that's exactly what they're doing. And maybe this will influence Franklin to play like they're mad as hell next week. I want you to know, as much as I'm a Quakers fan, I always cheer for, you know, the Mid-State Conference teams in the tournament when they're not playing us, of course. You know, I was really, after Whiteland knocked us out in the region the last year, I was cheering for them big time. I was, you know, I felt a little bit of a sinking feeling when they lost that state championship game to Valparaiso last year. Well, fielded at the 4, brought up on the kickoff, that is. It brought up now to about the 20. Gets up to about the 22. So 3:35 to go. Franklin does get the ball first to start the second half. So, if the Grizzly Cubs do get a touchdown on this drive and then get a touchdown to start off the second half, that would be a 1-possession game. That's got to be what they're thinking right now. But when your Plainfield is in a position now where they can probably win this game the rest of the way by simply taking away the big play, by being very conservative. So 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. And now a nice keeper there by Penix, picks up about 7 or so. Finnick, a very good rushing quarterback. He was absent from our game last year as a junior. Taking credit for 6, by the way. Grayson Betts, a freshman, started and didn't throw a lot, but he did a great job managing the game, especially giving the ball to a senior running back named John Shepard, who was, and now 3-2, and now we nearly sacked him. He rushed it off, and the pass, I believe the intended receiver there was Luger's, and he dropped it, so 3rd and 4. John Shepard, man. He was built like a brick outhouse. I think he was 6'2", 280. He wasn't very talented, but man, he was tough. He didn't have any like huge 50-yard gains or anything like that, but he would get like at least 4 or 5 almost every carry. And all you need is 3.4 to keep the chains moving. And so, anyway, now Luger drops back. He throws, and it is incomplete. So, yeah, we're inducing Franklin to pass more than they normally would. So 4th and 4 now, 2:50 to go. And it looks like they will punt. I mean, they're at their own 28. It's hard to imagine they would go for it in that position. So now Luke Starnes back deep to receive the punt for the Quakers. 2:50 to go, and we still have 2 timeouts. So we still have ample time to do something here. And any score, even a field goal, would make it an almost insurmountable 4-possession lead. And now Luke Snap, and he gets it. And now the punt goes out of bounds right around the 40. So Plainfield taking over at their own 42, 2:43 to go here in the second quarter, 7:48 your time of day. The Quakers have just still a little trouble finishing drives. But they came to play. They haven't played perfectly, but they have played super, super hard, and I'm very proud of them. And we all should be here at Quaker Nation. So now Vanderbush to the left, Rivera, Miller, and Bowie to the right. Starnes in there at running back again. He already has 2 touchdowns to 9-11 on the season. The snap. Now plenty of time. Dishes it off to Starnes, and he takes it up to 45. Breaks the tackle, and he's up inside the 50. He's got the first down, a gain of about 12 there. Starnes on his first reception of the game. So they mark him down at the Franklin 47, a gain of 11 there. Starnes with the 6th Quaker to catch a pass now. And now on the next play, another pass. Starnes up inside the 40, inside the 35, inside the 30, and he's brought down around the 29, so that's about an 18-yard pickup there. So the Quakers in the scoring position here. A pickup of 36 yards. So now the first two, now we've got 2 receptions in a row by Starnes for 11 and 13 yards. Both produced first downs under 2 minutes to go now. 1st and 10 at the 29. Let's do this, boys. 2 receivers deep side. Now, screen pass. It is caught, and he gets out of bounds. That was Miller with his 3rd reception of the game. New old 10 of 13 by my count. He takes, he's overshadowed by a lot of the big-name quarterbacks in the state, but I don't think there's been a more efficient quarterback in the state this year than Hunter Newell. And boy, he sure deserves a college scholarship. So now 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right, or 2 to the right, excuse me. Takes the handoff to Starnes, goes up the middle, and it is caught around the 6. That was Bowie there. I have him completing 11 of 14 passes now. ...16 yards there on that pickup. A Bowie with his 3rd reception of the game. He already has a touchdown. And now... we got a touchdown there. And I believe that was... I believe that was Miller with his first touchdown of the season. I couldn't tell from my vantage point. But we've been just, this has been such an incredible pounding. And now we're going for for another extra point. High snap, but he gets it. The kick is up, and it is good. So 30-0, your score, 1:26 to go in the first half. Now, I know that at this point, there's no reasonable way that we can lose this game. But I just, you know, the main thing, I just don't want us to, you know, have a letdown, to screw around in the second half and get sloppy. I want us to still take the game seriously and still execute and still find ways that we can improve. This is an A-minus performance in the first half. I had the minus because there were a couple of drives that we should have finished that we didn't. But, you know, other than that, you know, again, it's not a perfect performance, but it's a very good performance, and it is a perfect effort. I mean, this is the most focused I've seen the boys all year. And like I said last week in the postgame show, this loss, the loss to Decatur Central, could end up being the best thing that ever happens to this team. And I think I was right. And now he bobbles the kickoff return. But he gets the room on the right side from 35 from 40. And out of bounds on the 42. So the Grizzly Cubs, still with all three timeouts left in 1:19. They still got a shot to do something. They can, you know, if they score on this possession, a touchdown that is, and then score on the opening possession of the second half, it would be a two-possession game, and they would not be completely out of it. So he didn't get as good a spot as I thought, but still at the 39, and again with three timeouts left. So now he throws deep up the middle, and he's got a reception for a first down inside the 50. That was Luke Beckert with his first reception of the game. Franklin, less than 500 yards of passing offense coming into tonight. They're not a team that wants to throw 25 or 30 times. So 13 yards. I know we got a flag here. The 13 yards on that pass to Luke Beckert. It's going to be against Plainfield. So that will make it first and five at the 43 for Franklin. 58.8 seconds to go. Grizzly Cubs still with all three timeouts, trailing 30-0. It's been a dominating performance by Plainfield. Plainfield has easily played their best half of football all season. High snap, but Pinnock gets it, and he's up for about three or four. So they're probably going to take their first time out, and they do. 52.1 seconds to go. Well, it'll be nice to relax in the second half. By the way, I need to check the all-time record books. I wonder what the biggest comeback ever in Indiana high school football has been. The biggest comeback I ever commentated in football is my frequent broadcast partner, Rob Kindle, and I commentated a game 3 years ago during the coronavirus season. It was Hamilton Southeastern at Avon, then coached by Tyler Bless's dad, Mark Bless. Hamilton Southeastern led 25-0 before Avon came back and took a 28-25 lead. However, the Orioles seemed to run out of gas in the course of coming back, and they ended up giving up two late touchdowns to lose 39-28. But, yes, still to erase the 25-point deficit, four-possession deficit, that was very impressive. Yeah. So second and 8 for the Grizzly Cubs at the Plainfield 41, Plainfield 30, Franklin 0. And now a keeper there by Panic, and he's going to be short of the first down, so they might end up using another timeout here. The clock would have stopped had they got the first down. The clock would have stopped to move the chains, and now under 40 seconds, and so far they're not using it. So now they give it to, and now you've got the first down and more up to about the 30. That was Luger's there. He picked up about 9 for the clock. We'll stop to move the chains. 24.4 seconds to go. And I believe Franklin's going to take their second time out here. Desperate for any points they can get. We have contained the Lugers. 9 for 29 by my count. 24.4 to go here in the second quarter. Plainfield 30, Franklin 0. A near perfect performance for the Quakers. And I'll tell you, I like the attitude, the chip on their shoulder. Spin in their eyes mentality. The eye of the tiger. So now we've got Beckert and Taylor going up to the left for the Grizzly Cubs. One receiver to the right. Luger's the running back. Pinnock in shotgun. Takes it. And now takes the handoff. He's pressured, and he gets rid of it. So it'll be second and 10 with 19.5 seconds to go. Still one timeout left. Let's, not let up, boys. Make them earn every yard. So I think they're calling that intentional grounding, by the way. So that backs up 7 yards. So now second and 17 at the 37. No, they're moving back to the 42. So maybe there's a penalty that I missed. I did not see the flag. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Second and 22 at the 42 for the Grizzly Cubs. Now drops the back. And we got it for a sack. Yes. All right. 13 seconds in. The Grizzly Cubs used their last timeout. Man. Plainfield dominated this series for a long time. Like I said, we were 20-2 against the Grizzly Cubs from 1997 to 2018. Then, starting in 2019, year 3 under Chris Cole in his rebuilding task. Franklin's won 3 out of 4 against us since then, including the last two here at Plainfield. So it's great to get back on track. This is a penalty against Plainfield, but I heard somebody say horse collar tackle. Last week the officials were mic'd at Decatur Central. I wish they were mic'd every game, but okay, it's a personal foul against, horse collar tackle. So now the Grizzly Cubs have the ball at their at the Plainfield 27. They'll take any extra yards they can get. We have a beautiful half moon, an orange half moon there on the horizon that I can see just above the trees here that I see in the distance from the press box. So now three receivers to the left, one to the right. And now he's got some room, but he's brought down from behind, and they're going to have to use that last timeout. They do with 6.9 seconds to go. Panic, didn't see anybody open. He took it up himself, and he was brought down from behind, maybe a gain of 1 or 2. Or was there? Oh no, we got another. Now all of a sudden, personal foul penalties. I think he got another face mask here against the Quakers. Boy, you don't want to get in this habit. I mean, and that's what my one concern was when we got that huge lead. I didn't want us to get sloppy. So now we got another face mask. So Britt moves it up another 5 yards to the 22. And now they are going for a field goal. This is a 39-yarder. And now Plainfield taking its first time out. So Franklin's just, I wouldn't be surprised if they went for a fake here. As Plainfield takes the second time out with 6.9 seconds to go in the half. Because Franklin being down by 30 points, three is going to do them virtually no good. I mean, unless you just want to avoid the shutout at all costs. But, I mean, that's still going to be a four-possession deficit, so I would not be a bit surprised if they went for a fake here. Although, it should be noted that their kicker, J.D. Stever, is one of the best kickers in the state, not quite Alex Vogel elite level, referring to Decatur Central's kicker who torched us, got the game-winning field goal from 49 yards last week. But, you know, a guy who clearly is on his way to play college ball. 4 for 5 on field goals this year, along a 40. This one from 39, so obviously in his range. The snap, the kick is up. It's going to be close, and it is good. So with 2.6 seconds to go in the quarter, Franklin at least avoids the shutout, but they're still in a very deep hole. They trail your Plainfield Quakers by a score of 30-3 here on AudioSportsOnline.com. The Quakers on their way to their sixth win of the season. That will tie the most that they have won, I believe, since 2008. Let me check the records here. I know since I've been with the Quakers, this is my 12th season now, 6 is the most games that we've ever won, although we've won at least 4 in every year, so we have been consistent. But we've never won more than 6. We won 6 last year. We went 6-6. We were 4-5 in the regular season, then 2-1 in the playoffs. But definitely... a great, great turnaround for the Quakers. They still have room for improvement. They still have rough edges to polish. But I feel a heck of a lot better now than I did a week ago. And I'll tell you, starting in, even in the post-game show, driving home the about, 40 minutes or so from Decatur Central, I still, I was like, man, I just can't wait till next Friday so we can get this game out of our system, so we can slay the demon of this loss. And now a squib. It is taken at the 11, right to the 15, 20. Vanderbush with it, 25, 30, and he's brought down at the 32, and that will be the half. So your Plainfield Quakers head to the locker room, feeling a lot better than they did a week ago at this time. Your score, Plainfield 30, Franklin 3. We'll be back with a first half recap after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is made possible by the generosity of our supporters. We hope that you will support them and thank them for their bringing this game to you tonight. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gunnell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design, and Holly Porter. By IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellis and Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield, where almost all is right with the world, with your Plainfield Quakers destroying their arch rival, Franklin Grizzly Cubs by a score of 30-3. And now we're getting ready to have quite an elaborate halftime show with the marching band and a whole lot of props here. Looks like we have about 100, 120 members on the field. And I'm going to be giving you a first half recap in just a moment. But first, I am going to go grab a soda out of the cooler. And then I will be back, so just sit tight, and I will I'll be back with a lot more, and as well as the second half of football. And until then, don't you go changing. Field Quakers football on audiosportsonline.com is brought to you by TJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gunnell Financial, Remax Kinderstone, Julia Berberich, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, MyIT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield, we're at halftime with your Plainfield Quakers on their way to recovery from last week's disappointing first loss of the season and first loss of the Tyler Pless era after losing 26-23 last week on a 49-yard field goal in the last 2 minutes. After leading the game 23-9, Plainfield has played very aggressively tonight. They played with a chip on their shoulder. They played like they very much want to stab last weekend's loss in the heart and put it to rest permanently. And they're off to a very good start, leading the arch rival Franklin Grizzly Cubs by a score of 30-3. It's a game that Plainfield has dominated from start to finish. They got the ball first, and on their opening drive, they scored with 8:27 to go on a 9-yard touchdown rush by Luke Starnes. Cameron Grimes hit the extra point, making it 7-0. Then, after recovering a fumble, Plainfield scored on the first play of the ensuing drive, a 66-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Jameer Bowie. This time Leo Hayab hit the extra point, making it 14-0. With 9:27 to go in the second quarter, the Quakers got it down first and goal at the Franklin. Well, in the second quarter, the Quakers got the ball first and goal at the Franklin one. Did not score a touchdown after a tackle for loss and a penalty, but they did take a 3-possession lead on a 23-yard field goal by Leo Hayoff, making it 17-0. And then with 3:43 to go in the second quarter, Starnes got his second touchdown of the game, 11th of the season on a 3-yard rush. They went for a two-point conversion to make it a 4-possession lead. It failed, but the Quakers still had a very solid 23-0 lead. And finally, with 1:26 to go in the quarter, Isaiah Miller finally got his first touchdown pass of the season after having 19 receptions coming into tonight. It was on a 5-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell, his 10th of the season. And that the extra point by Hayab made it 30-0. And finally, with 3 seconds to go in the half, Franklin finally got its first score on a 39-yard field goal by J.D. Sever, bringing us to our current score of 30-3. A look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell has completed 12 of 16 passes for 171 yards and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. So he's 10 touchdowns, no interceptions on the season through 6.5 games. On receiving, Isaiah Miller has 4 receptions for 32 yards and a touchdown. Jameer Bowie, 3 for 85 and a touchdown. Luke Starnes, 2 for 29. And Marcos Rivera, 1 for 9. On rushing, Starnes has 13 rushes for 54 yards and 2 touchdowns. Weston Wayrich has 1 for 8, and Hunter Newell has 3 for 4. Meanwhile, for Franklin, Clay Pinnick has completed 3 of 6 passes for 32 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception. His leading receiver is Alex Luger with 2 receptions for 21 yards, while Luke Beckert has 1 for 11. On the ground, Alex Luger has 9 rushes for 30 yards. And then Clay Pinnick has 8 for 14. Caleb Owens, 1 for 2. And then it says team, 1 for 0. So anyway, not much that hasn't gone right with the Quakers. The only 2 things that I don't like are, basically when we had just scored to take it 14-0, we went for an onside kick, a dagger in the heart type move, recovered it, then ended up after we took over at the Franklin 45, Hunter Newell was sacked for a big loss and we ended up punting. So I hated that we got no points out of the onside kick. Then I also didn't like that we settled for the field goal when we had it first and goal at the Franklin 1. But other than that, this is, again, it's not quite a perfect performance. It's close. It's an A-minus performance, but it's an A-plus effort. And that means most of all. So we still got, the playoffs start 4 weeks from tonight, 28 days away, nearly a month. We've got 2 more games after, we have that second half tonight, then 2 more games. So we still got 2.5 games to polish things up for the playoffs. We still got a few rough edges. We're not playing the best we can play, but we're playing very darn well. We're playing the best game we've played all season. This is the best half we've played all season. And man, it's like night and day comparing this half of football, the first half of football we played tonight, to the one we played in the second half last week at Decatur Central, where there were a couple of questionable calls, but we just didn't execute, and we looked like we were playing without confidence. And to me, the thing that really summed up that loss, and, if you listen to me, I very rarely criticize officiating. I think I would like to see 2 or 3 of the calls again from last week. I'm like thinking about the no call on the pass interference against Vanderbush. I'm trying to remember it the best I can without seeing a video replay. I'll give the officials the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it was all incidental contact. It was a subjective call. I'll look for it online, but it was a subjective call. But I also don't want to put too much emphasis on that because the game should have never hinged on that. And, I really, like I said in the post-game show last week, the loss could end up being the best thing that ever happened to us. So far, it looks like it was. Because you go back to those first 5 games that we won, 4 of them were, 3 of them were very close, 2 of them were by 1 point. Well, Terre Haute South would be 32-13, but, they led 13-0. So there was some doubt in the beginning about the outcome of the game. And then Greenwood, we beat 46-20, but it was 22-20. We were leading 22-20 when we really, out of desperation, went for that fake punt, which did work. I was hopeful that a strong finish would carry over to the next week. And we did a lot of good things in the first 2.5 quarters of that Decatur Central game last week, but we just kept on letting them hang in there. And so this week we have not let – and it's just like you go back, we let Perry Meridian hang in longer than we should have. We let Harrison hang in longer than we should have. Tonight we didn't let Franklin hang in there at all. And that's what I want to see every game the rest of the season, starting at Whiteland next week. We enter that game losing 6 in a row to the Warriors, 12 of the last 13. They're having an off year, however, because of heavy graduation losses and an injury to star running back Malik Perkins. Now the kickoff for the second half, and it goes out of bounds again. That's one of the few blotches tonight. Three kickoffs out of bounds. We can get away with it tonight. We can't get away with it every week. Yeah, Liam, my son, just said we'll probably get this monkey off our back. And he, granted, it's only a two-game losing streak that we're on to Franklin, three of the last four, including the last two here. But it feels, after beating them 20 out of 22 times, after them being really the one win that we could count on every year, practically, and then they beat us three out of four times, you know, it feels good to finally get that win back. Of course, that's the one thing about the Mid-State Conference. They're doing a re-kick. That's one great thing about the Mid-State Conference, though, that, you know, is why I think we got a good shot to go a long way in the tournament. There are no easy wins. There are no gimme wins in the conference anymore. Terry Meridian is now turning into a solid program. Franklin is a good program. Mooresville, one of the best 4A programs in the state. And the kickoff goes in for the touchback. All right. Greenwood, after 1-9 last year, is back this year. They're back with a vengeance. 4-2 now. So it looks like they're going to be a very good team under head coach Justin Bozen, who's completely revamped the offense, making them one of the best passing teams in the state. They still got to, you know, improve their defense by a wide margin, but certainly doing far better than they did a year ago, which is impressive in your first year under a new offense. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. The first play from scrimmage of the second half now. And it is caught, and it is up a screen pass over there to, and he gets close to the first down. He might have it. That was only the seventh pass of the game for the Grizzly Cubs. Like, oh yeah, being in a 27-point hole, I think they're going to be passing a whole lot here in the second half, which is not their game, you know. They've been predominantly a rushing team, although Chris Cole showed at Tri-West that he could succeed with a pass-heavy offense. In fact, one of his players there, Peyton Hendershot, now playing for the Dallas Cowboys. So 10 yards on the first play of the half. And now, and we nearly intercepted it. Oh, man. So, second and 10 for the Grizzly Cubs at their own 30. So second and 10, two receivers to the right, one to the left. Luger's the running back. Penix in shotgun. And now throws up the middle, and it is incomplete. I think Clay Penix, by the way, might be the first left-handed quarterback that we have commentated all season. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. Snap, and he's under pressure, and he gets rid of it. So fourth and 10. So after the starting off the drive with a 10-yard pass from Penick to Luger's, three consecutive incompletions, and looks like the Grizzly Cubs are going to punt. So that's great. I mean, you know, four plays on that drive, all passes, which is not the game plan that Franklin wants. So we can just keep making them pass. You know, the game is ours, barring a miracle. So now a punt, taking up to 36, brought up to the 38 or 39. Good coverage there on the punt. Joey Fulmer of Franklin was right on top of it. Good coverage by him. Plainfield, staked out while Franklin only ran off 30 seconds on that drive. So the Quakers, two receivers each side. Starnes the running back. Screen pass, and it is caught and pushed out of bounds after a gain of about three. Isaiah Miller there. Finally got his first touchdown of the season. I say finally because he's gotten so many receptions. He had 19 coming into tonight. Now with that reception, he has five tonight, including the touchdown. And now Starnes gets it. They're right on top of him, though, and he gets maybe one. So 1 yard there by Luke Starnes. He was 13 for 54, 13 for 53 in a touchdown, and two touchdowns in the first half. And now a pass is complete for the first down inside the 50. I believe that's Bowie there. He's brought down at about the 49, plus the gain of about 7 there. So that's the gain there of 11 on that short pass to 9, excuse me. And now we got a gain of by Starnes of about 5 there, or 6. So now the Quakers second and 4 at the 41 there following that 6-yard pickup by Starnes. And now another pitch over to Starnes, and he gets up. He's got the first, and he could go all the way at 45, 40, 15, one man to beat. Did he get in? Touchdown, yes. Luke Starnes, number 12 on the season, number 3 on the game. This one, 41 yards. 36-3 now with the conversion pending. All right. Oh, my God. What a game. And by my count, that put Starnes over 100 yards on the game. His second multiple touchdown game of the season. He had 4 a couple of weeks ago against Greenwood. So 7 touchdowns in his last 7 quarters at home. So he's turning into the touchdown a quarter man, and now a 2-point conversion attempt. And he got it! Yes! All right. So 38-3 now, 9:45 to go here in the third quarter. And I'm hoping that we'll start to get a look at some of our second string in this game. Especially, I'd like to see, you know, a backup quarterback get in there and get some action. Because you never know when it might be necessary. And plus, you know, obviously, Hunter Newell being a senior, we got to get somebody prepared for next year. So, what a difference a week makes. But, yeah, I mean, obviously these guys have had a great week in practice. You know, Saturday morning, I'm sure Tyler Bless is a tough disciplinarian, probably not quite drill sergeant level like Bob Knight. But, you know, I think if Bob Knight had been coaching this team, last Saturday would have been one of those days where he made the team run the steps at Assembly Hall, which, by the way, was his punishment when they were playing badly. So maybe Tyler Bless made them climb the steps here at Red Pride Stadium. But whatever he did, it sure worked. Now the kickoff taken around the 6, brought up to the 15, and you can see the urgency as to the return man just trying to get something going, but he's brought down around the 20, 9:35 to go now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, while I was taking my soda break at halftime, I went over and said hi to another commentator by the name of Steve Stewart, who I've been acquainted with for close to 10 years now. He's with Korn. They cover a lot of Johnson County games, KORN radio, and hold that thought. So two receivers to the left now, one to the right. And now handoff there, and he's got some room, and he's got the first down up to about the 32. Give him credit for 13 there. I believe that was Luger's again. He was 9 for 30 in the first half. Picks up 13 there, which is his longest of the game. His previous long was 9. So two receivers to the left now, one to the right. And we got some movement at the line, and we got a flag. But anyway, I first met Steve Stewart at the Plainfield at Franklin game back in 2016, and we've seen each other over the years, and, you know, we always say hi to each other. But what initiated him talking to me was I was wearing a T-shirt of the two twin girls from the movie The Shining, which is my favorite horror movie of all time. Well, probably one of my three or four favorite movies of all time, period. And he told me my shirt was awesome, and we started talking. Hold that thought. So two receivers now to the left, one to the right, one running back. Now a high snap. But now Pinnock takes it up, and he's close to the first down. It was first and 5 after the penalty. Pinnock gained 14 yards, although he had 23 yards of losses in the first half. He picks up 4 right there. So second and 1 for the Grizzly Cubs. And they do have the first down, maybe one more. I believe that was Luger's again. So they do move the chains. 2-yard gain there. So two receivers to the left. One to the right. And now deep throw. The deepest throw of the game, and it is nearly caught but dropped. So bring a second down and 10 now at the Franklin 42. Grizzly Cubs trailing 38-3, 6:07 to go. And now the clock is still ticking. Boy, this reminds me of what happened last week. I don't see many scoreboard errors here at Plainfield, but, yeah, they've let the clock run for... I forgot. It's 35-point lead, so we're on a running clock now. Okay, so we're going to be out of here early tonight. I just completely forgot about the running clock rule. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. And now a fake in Pinnock now. He's trying to take it himself. He's past the 35 up to about the 30. That's a gain of about 25 yards there. So he takes it from their own 42 to the Plainfield 34. That's a gain of 24 yards there. Longest rush of the game by the Grizzly Cubs. And now he gets up for about 3 or 4. So I was about to say this was, I thought that we were having a repeat of last week's episode, at Decatur Central, where on a change of possession late into the third quarter, the clock ran for at least 30 seconds before, and by the way, that was 4 yards there by Lugers. But yeah, the clock ran for about 30 seconds on a change of possession, and then they ended up just putting about 10 seconds back on the clock. There were several scoreboard errors throughout that game that really made my job tough as a commentator. So two receivers to the left, now one to the right. And now another rush there by Panic, and he gets about 3 or 4. So that's the 3 there by Pinnock. .345 to go and counting. 8:42 your time of day. So this might be the earliest I've gotten home this season on after a game. So two receivers to the right, one to the left. Now handoff there to Lugers, and he does have the first down. Give him credit for 6 there. So now Cooper and Cooper Taylor and Beckard out there to the right. And now another keeper there by Pinnock, and he's inside the 20. He's running very hard, aggressively, just trying to get anything going to finish this game on a positive note for the Grizzly Cubs. Under 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, your score, Plainfield 38, Franklin 3. Easily the best Quakers game of the season. And keep in mind, Franklin enters the game 4-2, ranked number 13 here in Class 5A, only 5 notches behind us. So one receiver to each side now. Now Pinnock throws, he's got a man open, and it is nearly intercepted. The intended receiver there. Let's see who was that. I believe that was Quinton Richards. Quinton Richards, number 81. Bringing up 3rd and 7 now. .145 and counting. We're playing with the running clock now because of Plainfield's 35-point lead. Now, if their lead is cut to under 35, I'm unclear as to whether the clock will end the running clock at that point. So two receivers to the right, one to the left. And now throws into the end zone. It is intercepted! All right. Brought up to the 15, 20, 25, 30, and knocked out of bounds around the 35. So that's the second interception of the game for the Quakers. And that's what happens when, you know, you're not a very good passing team and you're induced to pass more than a lot more than you'd like. Well, this Franklin team, you know, despite this loss tonight, still has a good shot to win their sectional. The other three teams in it are the 2 Terre Hautes, North and South, which would likely be a pretty easy victory for for the Grizzly Cubs. And then Whiteland, who is having a rare off year. So Franklin's still probably the best team in their sectional. So now the Quakers taking over 1st and 10 at their own 37. And now handoff there. I believe that's Ferguson. Yes, it is Ferguson, and he gets 4 or 5. Under 30 seconds now. So that will likely be the last play of the third quarter here. They give Ferguson credit for that. And that will 3-2-1. So after three quarters of play here at Red Pride Stadium, it's a party-type atmosphere. Your Plainfield Quakers on their way to their 6th win of the season. They lead the Franklin Grizzly Cubs 38-3. We'll be back with the conclusion after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on audiosportsonline.com is made possible by the generosity of our sponsors. We encourage you to support them. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Janelle Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design, and Holly Porter, by IT Indy, Indy I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellis & Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Chipotle. Thank you, business partners. Your support of the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield, your Plainfield Quakers are 12 minutes away from victory. They lead 38-3 over Franklin. The Quakers now have the ball first, second and five now at their own 42. Luke Starnes gets the ball there again. No, I think we got a new running back in there. And I think we got a new quarterback. All right. So Hunter Newell getting the fourth quarter off. It's well-deserved. It looks like now we've got... Okay, that was Ferguson there, I believe. So they got him down for, I guess, no gain. So now we've got two receivers out to the left. We've got, let's see, we've got Grant Short, newly into the game. He is a junior. We are 11 minutes to go, we are playing with a running clock because of Plainfield's 35-point lead. So this game should be over very quickly. Screen pass, and might have been pass interference there. Nothing called. Playing quarterback now is Mason Monday. Playing, that is the first varsity pass of his career. Monday is, he's a 5'10", 166-pound quarterback. He is a junior. I'm sorry, 5'11", 186. 5'11", 186. So slightly undersized for a quarterback, but that's the only thing that with a running clock I don't like. You know, I'd like, you know, for Plainfield to get, you know, two or three good possessions where they have time to do a lot of stuff to really execute with the second unit. And now Faircat's called for, taken at the 26 for Franklin on the punt. 9:57 to go. Running clock here. Plainfield's last game at the running clock was at Greenwood week 5 last year. And I remember it was 35 to 8. And then we got the extra, we got the touchdown, making it 41-8. And Coach Woodard was not a big 2-point conversion guy, but he went for 2 points. I guess just to get it into the running clock late in the third quarter, and it was successful, and we went on to win 43-14. The only time I ever commentated running clock because Plainfield was down 35 was that very painful sectional loss to Decatur Central in 2019. So now Decatur Central just trying to get any kind of positive momentum going on offense. They got into the red zone last time, but ended on an interception. And, you know, Franklin, you know, has done some good things tonight, but we just, you know, we made a couple of big plays, got them in a hole, got them rattled, and we just took advantage every time. You know, there are a lot of teams in the state who Franklin's have beaten tonight, but, and now another rush up the middle, and, well, Luger's got the first down. Got about 8 there. So 8:20 to go and counting. 8:50 your time of day. So we're going to be out of here earlier than usual tonight. So now, once again, we've got Beckert and Taylor out to the right. And now, low snap, and he gets it, and he's got, the room on the left side of the 50, 45. So Franklin, you know, still trying to finish on a positive note. Got up to about the 43 there. on that rush. Seven forty to go in counting. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. Now handoff again to Lugers, and he's up to about the 35. Now I guess you can still use your timeouts under the running clock, but, you know. So now they mark it at the 37 after a gain of 6 there. So Lugers piling up some yards late. He has got over 1,000 yards on the season tonight. Franklin's had two or three drives where they moved pretty well, but they just didn't finish them except for, obviously, the field goal. And I guess the movement at the line. I guess the clock doesn't even stop for penalties, though. So it's going to be against Plainfield. Still a few penalties for Plainfield tonight, but not as bad as last week. So it has been an improvement. And by the way, I forgot to mention, but with this win tonight, okay, well, Plainfield and Franklin entered this game tied in sole possession. The two teams were in sole possession of first place in the Mid-State Conference. The only team coming in with only one conference loss. So now Plainfield will move after we got a short run there by Franklin on first and 10. They'll take it inside the 30 after a gain of 2 or 3. They give them credit for 3 on that one. So the Grizzlies have it at the 29 as we hit the 6-minute mark here in the fourth quarter. But now Plainfield will be 4-1 in the conference. And so they will have a 2-game conference lead with 2 games to go. So they've now virtually clinched the Mid-State Conference. But they have their sights on an even bigger championship. So now another rush there. This one inside the 25. We got a flag here. Lugers gets about 4 or 5. 5:33 to go. Franklin clearly wanting to get at least one touchdown here to close out this game. Build some momentum going into next week. Plainfield will go on the road to Whiteland 1 week from tonight. The Warriors have beaten us 6 straight times, 12 of the last 13, including 49-14. Last year in the playoffs in the regional. A game, it was 21-14 going into the fourth quarter. We were down 21-14. Then they blitzed us for 4 touchdowns to close out the game in the last quarter. Under 5 minutes to go now. 2nd and 7 for the Grizzly Cubs at the 38. And now fix the handoff. And it is a pass complete, but he's hammered immediately as he made the catch. That was Jaden Oliver, a junior, there on the reception. 4:30 to go now. Very relaxing. And I'll tell you, I've neglected to talk all game. First of all, about the weather. It was a high of 77 today here at Plainfield. It was 69 a few minutes ago when I checked. Very pleasant evening. We've had some of the best weather through 7 weeks of this season, of my 12 seasons of commentary now. And now two receivers to each side. So two receivers to the left and the right, excuse me. And now they give it to Lugers on the right on top of him, and they hit him for, it looks like, a short loss, bringing up 4th and long, under 4 minutes to go now. But I've neglected to talk about the crowd. I mean, there's been so much, because of the running clock, it's reduced the time I've had to say so many things I want to say, but let me talk about the crowd. Not counting homecoming, this might be the biggest crowd I've ever commentated, and it says a lot about these fans, even coming off a loss. They're so enthusiastic about this team. I mean, it felt good to have trouble finding a good parking spot tonight. I mean, usually we get a couple thousand fans here, and now we got a rush up the, and it'll be a turnover on downs. The Plainfield will get the ball after a short gain there by the Grizzly Cubs. Plainfield will take over at their own 35 or so, 3:06 to go now. So we'll get the second unit for Plainfield. We'll get at least one more possession. But this crowd, I'd say we have 3,000 people here, maybe a little more tonight. We have most of the bleachers, probably 80. The bleachers were probably 85 to 90% full tonight. We had probably about 150 or so Franklin fans who made the trip of about 45 minutes, so probably about an hour, hour and 10 minutes under, you know, typical 465/US-31 traffic. And now we got a rush over by a new guy. I couldn't tell who it was. He's brought down around the line of scrimmage under 2.5 minutes to go now. Plainfield closing out a 38-3 win, 2:18 to go now. We're under a running clock. The Quakers will move to 6-1. The Grizzly Cubs will drop to 4-3. Plainfield plays at Whiteland next week. But I think we have 3,000 people or so here tonight. And we have, gosh, probably, we've had probably 200, 250 people in the standing room in addition to the bleachers. I mean, it's just great to see how full the parking lot is. You know, I love, you know, even getting here, usually get here about, a couple hours before the game. I was a little later than usual tonight. Got here about 6:10, 6:15. But to get here that early and to have trouble finding a good parking spot, that is awesome. So it's great to see the, after another short game by the Quakers, they pick up four there. Third and six now, 1:34 to go in the game. It is great to see how enthusiastic this community is. I mean, you know, we generally have good crowds, well above average crowds here at Plainfield, but this year I think the fans know that this is a team that can be very special. This can be one of the best teams in school history, maybe the best since the 2000 team that got all the way to the state championship game. So anyway, now another, and now he's got some room. He's got a first down to the 50. They have a lot of new guys in the game. I could not tell who that was from my vantage point. I apologize. We'll try to catch it under a minute now. So maybe just one or two plays left in this game. So the game, barring a timeout, is going to end before 9 o'clock. So, Rob Kendall, my frequent broadcast partner, when he's here, often talks about how quickly Plainfield ended. You know, when he, in his early years with AudioSportsOnline.com, Plainfield games usually finished first because they were almost an exclusively rushing team there in the early Brian Woodard years. Well, this is like a throwback to those days. So the last play of the game probably coming up 20 seconds, and now we've got, I think they just did a kneel down. But anyway, that'll be it. So your Plainfield Quakers, amazing, amazing performance, nearly flawless. They showed that they learned a heck of a lot from last week. They got into a running clock here and got it so that, you know, they got into a running clock in the third quarter so that I didn't get to say a whole lot of what I wanted to say. So I will try to do that here at the post-game segment. 8:59 your time of day, and the game is already over. Your Plainfield Quakers have a game for the ages of, 12 years of commentating the Quakers. This game's probably one of their top two or three performances. And, you know, never has the phrase Red Pride been more appropriate than it is tonight. Because if you're a Plainfield fan, what else could you feel for these kids right now? I am just so psyched up and overwhelmed, and this is so much the opposite of my disappointment and my emotional letdown last week. You know, after that loss, after the 3-0 start, I was like, okay, let's just go undefeated. And then after 5-0, I thought, we really had a chance at it, and to lose the undefeated record hurt. But what a way to recover tonight. And I was so much hoping, because I know that a devastating or at least disappointing loss can do one of two things. It can either break you, or it could do the opposite. It can just fire you up and get you to go out and play like hell. And fortunately, it had the latter effect tonight on these kids. So anyway, your final score here tonight at Red Pride Stadium, Plainfield 38, Franklin 3. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to next week's showdown at Whiteland after these final words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors, and we hope that you will support them. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gannell Financial, Remax Centerstone, Julia Berberich, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Ellis and Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield for a final time tonight, where your Plainfield Quakers have just completed a near perfect performance. Coming up their first loss of the season, they turned the tables in a big way. They kicked donkey for almost all 48 minutes and came away with a 38-3 win over the arch-rival Franklin Grizzly Cubs, almost clinching the Mid-State Conference in the process, breaking a two-game losing streak overall and a two-game losing streak at home to Franklin. It's a game in which Plainfield came out swinging and just never let the Grizzly Cubs into the game at all. They got the ball first and with 8:27 to go in the first quarter. Luke Starnes scored on a 9-yard rush. Cameron Grimes put the extra point, making it 7-0. Then on Franklin's ensuing drive, they fumbled. Plainfield recovered at their own 34, and on the first play of the ensuing drive, Hunter Newell threw 66 yards to Jameer Bowie for a touchdown. This time, Leo Hayop kicked the extra point, making it 14-0. Then Plainfield on the ensuing kickoff went for a onside kick, recovered. Disappointingly, Hunter Newell was sacked. We ended up punting. However, on Franklin's ensuing possession, quarterback Clay Pinnock was intercepted. And then on Plainfield's ensuing drive, they drove all the way down to the Franklin 1. Then a tackle for loss and a penalty moving them back to the 8. So they ended up settling for a 23-yard field goal from Leo Hayob with 9:27 to go in the second quarter. But that made it a three-possession lead at 17-0. And at that point, it was ours to lose. Then with a 3:43 to go in the quarter, Starnes got a 3-yard touchdown rush, his second touchdown of the game. And the two-point conversion attempt, which would have made it a four-possession lead at 25-0, failed. Nevertheless, Plainfield still a commanding 23-0 lead at that point. With 1:26 to go in the quarter, Newell threw 5 yards to Isaiah Miller, who entered the game as our third leading receiver with 19 receptions, but had not gotten a touchdown yet. He did get a touchdown on a 5-yard reception this time, again with 1:26 to go in the quarter. Hayob kicked another extra point, making it 30-0. Finally, with 3 seconds to go in the half, J.D. Sever gave Plainfield what turned out to be its only score on a 39-yard field goal, making him 5 of 6 on the season. That was his second longest, missing his record of 40 yards by only a yard. And then Plainfield started off the third quarter after, on the first play, after Franklin got the ball first to start the second half, they started off with a 10-yard screen pass to Alex Lugers. However, then then 3 consecutive incomplete passes that resulted in a punt and a Plainfield ensuing possession. Weston Weyrich scored on a 41-yard touchdown rush. Weston Weyrich, I apologize, I incorrectly attributed it to Luke Starnes. So Weston Weyrich got his second touchdown of the season. Weston Weyrich wears 22, and Starnes wears 32. But anyway, Weston Weyrich got a touchdown, Caden Vanderbush caught a two-point conversion reception from Hunter Newell, giving us a 35-point lead and making it a running clock. And the game ended very quickly from there, ended at 8:59 to be exact. Look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell completed 14 of 18 passes, a near-perfect game, for 184 yards, 2 touchdowns, including a long of 66. That was a pass to Bowie. In addition, Mason Monday gave Plainfield his first backup quarterback action of the season. He threw one pass. It was an incompletion. I wish he'd gotten more time to, you know, play, but we were under the running clock. One thing I hate about their running clock rule. But anyway, on receiving, Jahmyr Bowie had 3 receptions for 85 yards and 1 touchdown. Isaiah Miller had 5 receptions for 36 yards and 1 touchdown. Luke Starnes had 2 for 29, and Marcos Rivera had 1 for 9. On rushing, oddly, Weston Weyrich with that 41-yarder ended up being our leading rusher tonight, so he went 4 for 60 with the 41-yard touchdown. Luke Starnes, 14 for 55 and 2 touchdowns, number 10 and 11 on the season for him. And then Corin McGill, a newcomer, had his first rush tonight in the running clock fourth quarter. He went 1 for 12. And then Kwabe Rader, I hope I pronounced that correctly, K-W-A-B-E-R-A-D-E-R, he went 1 for 5. So good to see some new guys get in on the action. Meanwhile, for Franklin, Clay Pinnock completed 4 of 13 passes for Clay Pinnock completed 4 of 13 passes for 42 yards, no touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Then Grayson Betts completed 1 pass for 0. He completed 1 of 1 pass for minus 5 yards. On receiving, not much to report for the Grizzly Cubs. Alex Lugers had 3 receptions for 31 yards. Luke Beckert, 1 for 11. Jaden Oliver, 1 for minus 5. And Caleb Owens, 1 for 0. Caleb Owens, he had 1 thrown to him, but he did not have a reception. So I apologize for that. Then on rushing, Alex Lugers was 4 for 58. Isaiah Stoltz, 7 for 45. And then Caleb Owens, 2 for 2. And then it says team, 4 team rushes for 28 net yards. So anyway, obviously it was a game in which Plainfield dominated. Total offense of the Quakers nearly doubled the Grizzly Cubs, 306 to 163. So it was just so great to see Plainfield dominate like they did tonight and just never let the Grizzly Cubs in the game at all. And this was one game where just really everybody did a little something for the Quakers. And by the way, thanks to Jeff Sherman for the statistics, for the official statistics. I keep track as the game goes on. Usually my stats are close, but it's always good to get the official numbers right to you. So he brought me the stats at the end of every quarter tonight, so thanks so much again to Jeff. He does a great job for us, just like, he's been with us, I believe, 8 years now, and it's like Jackie Sproul, the first 4 years, did a great job keeping statistics for us as well. So, anyway, Plainfield, like I said last week, my throat is really sore. I'll just bear with it for another 5 or 10 minutes. I don't want to interrupt the broadcast to chug anything right now, even though my throat is now sore. But anyway, so in conclusion, Plainfield, what can you say? I mean, the passing, the offense, the rushing offense was good. The rushing defense was good. The passing offense was good. The passing defense was good. I mean, every aspect of the game was good tonight. We came out swinging. I knew I wanted us to play mad as hell. I wanted us to play with a chip on our shoulder. I wanted us to play like we were, hungry to redeem ourselves from last week's loss. We did all of those things. We just came out there and we played like we wanted to take on the world, like we want to be the state champions this season. We played with a state championship attitude tonight. The only 2 blotches on our game tonight, well, a little more than that, but basically the only blotches on our game tonight You know, we ended up punting after we recovered the onside kick when it was 14-0, and then we settled for a field goal when we had it first and goal at the Franklin 1. Although even then, at least the field goal did give us that three possession lead. So that was still good. And then we had three kickoffs that went out of bounds. Maybe a couple too many penalties. Other than that, it was a great performance. They gave us an A-. We played every game this season, every broadcast have always said, next week I want to see 48 minutes of good football. We did about 46 tonight. So, you know, there's always room for improvement, but this right now, this is about a glass 93-94% full feeling that I have right now. We got 28 days to patch things up for the playoffs to, you know, improve things, but right now, if we play every game the rest of the season like we did tonight, we can win the sectional, we can win the regional. We've played two of our three sectional opponents. At Harrison, we beat by 115-14. Decatur Central beat us 26-23 last week. We would beat, unless Harrison or Decatur Central came through with an outstanding performance, we would beat either one of them with this performance tonight. We certainly would beat McCutcheon with it. So we have the potential to win the sectional. Our regional, we would play Franklin, who we just destroyed tonight. And Franklin's probably the best team in that sectional. The other two teams are the Terre Haute. We are obviously already beat Terre Haute South 32-13. And Terre Haute North is even worse than Terre Haute South. Obviously, we would almost certainly beat either of those teams. Whiteland will get a shot at next week, but Whiteland lost to Prairie Meridian 28-13. They're having a very, very rare off year. They're vulnerable this year. If we played the way we did tonight in the regional, we likely would win there. That would put us in the semi-state, where our most likely opponent would be Bloomington North. And our only common opponent with Bloomington North is Mooresville. We beat Mooresville by 16. Bloomington North only beat Mooresville by 5. So,
still good to see you, buddy. Hope to see you. I'm going to be on Whiteland next week.
Now we're going.
Okay. I'm gonna be at the Whiteland next week. So okay. Anyway, hope to see you later in the season.
Good to see you.
Oh, you too, man. Oh, thanks. Yes, it's been a long time coming. So yeah, good luck next week, too.
Yeah, I was just talking to my buddy Steve Stewart there. Hope to see him later in the season. I was hoping he would be at the game next week because I saw him. Last time I saw him was actually at the Plainfield at Whiteland game in the regional last year. So unfortunately did not see him tonight, but unfortunately we'll not see him next week, but hopefully later in the season, like maybe in the playoffs. So, but anyway, the thing is right now, Plainfield, with the performance they gave tonight, they would have a good chance to beat Bloomington North in the semi-state, and that would put us in the state championship game. Now, I don't want to give these kids a big head. But if they do what they did tonight, if they don't have any letdowns after this, they can go a very long way. So, you know, I'm just trying to find the balance here. You know, I want the kids to be confident, but I want them to stay hungry to keep the eye of the tiger. You know, it's like, you know, to use that Rocky III analogy that I used in one of our earlier broadcasts. I just don't want them to lose the eye of the tiger. I want them to play every game as hungry as they did tonight and then just polish up the mistakes, and they can go a long way. Just every aspect of the game was great tonight. So we got to keep it going. And keeping it going will start 1 week from tonight where we visit a painfully familiar opponent, the Whiteland Warriors. On the road, it will be our last regular season road game. Whiteland has beaten us 6 straight times in 12 of the last 13. Last year, we played them twice. We played them here in the regular season. They beat us 49-17 in that Week 8 game. Our last, it was Coach Woodard's last regular season home game. Then we went down there in the playoffs, lost by a similar score, 49-14. It was 21-14 going into the fourth quarter. Then they ran off 28 points against us to close out the game. They went on all the way to the state championship game, losing to Valparaiso on a touchdown in the final seconds. However, Whiteland is not as they're having a very rare off year. Darren Fisher almost never has an off year down there, but he is this year, so they are vulnerable. Let me pull up the stats here.
And now the PA playing, loving every minute of it, by Loverboy, a very appropriate song to play for us Quaker fans right now. So anyway, Whiteland enters the game, well, entering their game tonight against Mooresville. They were 3-3. They beat Jeffersonville easily in the opener, 52-20. Then they lost to Kokomo, a 4-18, 27-13. Malik Perkins, one of their top returning rushers from last season, suffered an injury in that game. It's been very hard for them to overcome. Then they did come back and beat Decatur Central 31-15 the next week, but then lost their next two, 22-21, to the Franklin team, who we destroyed tonight. And then 28-13 to the Prairie Meridian team, who we beat. So Whiteland has lost the two teams that we beat this year. And then they last week beat Martinsville 34-22. So anyway, it's not a guarantee, but certainly it looks promising heading in to next week. Whiteland really, with once Malik Perkins went down, it really threw off their offensive balance, and they barely threw the ball at all. They're almost an exclusively rushing team. And after losing their top three rushers from last season, and then losing Perkins in game two this year, the entire offense has rushed around the junior Slate Valentine, who's having a great season. Coming into the night, he'd rushed 142 times for 790 yards and 6 touchdowns, but he hasn't been able to do it alone. So if we bring our A game and we play with the focus and the absolute determination we did tonight, we got a good shot to get that win next week, get that monkey off our backs, break that 6-game losing streak to the Warriors. Break that 6-game losing streak to the Warriors and giving us a psychological edge if we do meet them in the playoffs, which is there's a very good chance that we would meet them in the regional. It's likely if we do win the sectional, and I don't want to say it's a guarantee, because it's not. We could lose to Decatur Central, we could lose to Harrison. But if we play like we did tonight, we probably would beat either of those teams. And then we'd have a good shot to beat what would likely be almost certainly either Franklin or Whiteland in the regional. So certainly I would not want to go against the Whiteland in the regional with them on a 7-game winning streak against us. Like I think last year, had we lost that Decatur Central game in the regular season, I think it would have been really tough for us to go into the sectional championship against them on a 14-game losing streak to them. I think that was such a psychological edge when we won that game in the regular season against them. So, and certainly, and this game, really was a way to get a monkey up our, even though, again, we were only on a 2-game losing streak against Franklin, this really slays that demon of last year where they beat us 35-12 because we lost, we turned the ball over inside the Franklin 10 three times, including Troy Larrison fumble at the 1-yard line when we were about to, it was 21-6, we were about to make it a one-possession game, and Larrison fumbled at the one. Bo Baker of Franklin picked it up, took it all the way in for the touchdown. And that was a very painful loss. But anyway, and by the way, Steve Stewart, I was just saying goodbye to a few minutes ago. He told me that we had a heck of a team, so that was good to hear from him. And he, being a Johnson County guy who covers a lot of the Johnson County teams, he knows good football when he sees it. They have Franklin, they have Greenwood, they have Whiteland, they have, of course, Center Grove down there. They have some of the best teams in the state, so that was great to hear from him. The only thing I wish we'd gotten more time to talk is we like to talk about the band Pink Floyd, who's a mutual favorite of ours. But anyway, and I'll tell you, I'm sorry if I feel a little scattered. There are two things I hate about the running clock rule. Number one is that, you don't get enough time on the field for your second unit. I wish that our second unit would have gotten 3 or 4 quality possessions tonight to get some game action. And then the other thing is that I just feel so scattered because I don't get a chance to say so many things that I had planned to say. But, hey, this is the most euphoric win that I've had for playing field since that sectional championship last year. So
I'm going to go home in a much better mood tonight than I did a week ago. And hopefully I'll go home in a great mood, a week from tonight, which is going to be about an hour drive, from me, coming home from Whiteland. And I hope you all will get out there, leave early if you can. Try to leave by 3:30. My cutoff time, when I worked downtown, my cutoff time to head down to, Franklin Greenwood or Whiteland, my cutoff time to leave was 3:30, because I just don't want to get stuck in that I-465/US-31 traffic. So anyway, get there if you can. Let's fill up those visiting bleachers with a couple of thousand crazed Quaker fans, and just get these, help these kids to what would be a big victory, to get that Whiteland monkey off our back and get that psychological edge if we meet them in the playoffs. So anyway, how far these kids are going to go, we don't know, but as long as they come out and play every game the way they did tonight, they got a good shot to win. And even if they don't, with this kind of effort, we're going to be nothing but proud of them. So the best is still to come for this program. And hopefully I'll be, with this program for many more years. But I'm going to enjoy, every game while I'm here, because this team is turning into something very special, and I just want to see these kids fulfill their potential. So once again, your final score here tonight at Red Price Stadium, Plainfield 38, Franklin 3. The Quakers recover from their first loss of the season and improve to 6-1. Should move up from their current position of number 8 in this week's AP poll. And Franklin falls to 4-3, and the Quakers now sit on top, effectively 2 games ahead in the Mid-State Conference standings with 2 games to go. So this concludes our broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again 1 week from tonight at 6:45 for the pregame show, as your Plainfield Quakers try to end a 6-game losing streak to the Whiteland Warriors. Until then, for AudioSportsOnline.com, this is Lex Zorn reminding you, there is a difference only you can make.